Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Whitehaven Coal Quarterly Report Investor Briefing. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session for analysts only, at which time, if you wish to queue for a question, you'll need to press 0 followed by 1 on your telephone. Any media queries will need to follow the regular channels. Please note that this conference is being recorded today, Monday, the 17th of October, 2016. I would now like to hand the conference over to your host today, Mr. Paul Flynn, Managing Director. Thank you, sir. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Operator, and welcome everybody. Thanks for making the time for our September quarterly report for 2016. As usual, I'll just go through the highlights and then move on into the individual commentary on our site. So for our first quarter for the year, we feel we're off to a solid start, which is nice to be able to put behind us. I'll just quickly go through the highlights. Certainly our safety, you recall, when we closed out last year, we certainly wanted to make sure that we continued the momentum of our safety drive, and we've certainly improved on the run rate that we had at the end of last financial year. As everyone would be noting, obviously prices have taken a bit of a run. It was pleasing to see the December quarter semi-soft price settle at 130, which is a significant improvement, obviously, on where we were before, so that should make the December quarter interesting. From a ROM perspective, 5.4 million tonnes for the quarter, we're 41% up on the previous corresponding period. The managed saleable coal production at 5.2, 20% up on the same period, and our managed and equity coal sales at 5 million and 3.8 million, respectively up 12 and 8% on the previous corresponding period. You may recall there was a change out in Narrabri during that previous period, but we did continue to sell during that period. Maules Creek is doing well and has performed pretty well, and the ramp up to 10 million tonnes is certainly on track to come online for the second half of this financial year, which is good. The first of the two excavators required to get to that 10.5 million tonne per annum run rate has now been deployed, with the associated trucks servicing it. And our expansion project at Narrabri, going to the 400 metre face, is on time and budget. So pleasing to be able to finish up panel 6 and get into panel 7 of this wider face as soon as we can. Just over to our production stats at 5.4 versus 3.8, as I said, 41% better than the previous corresponding period. At 5.1, our saleable coal production versus 4.3 is 20% up, and our sales, as I mentioned, 12% up as well. The equity tonnes there are for you there, and equity ROM tonnes 4.1 versus 3, 36% up. Saleable coal production on an equity basis 3.9 versus 3.3 at 18% better. And equity sales of our produced coal 3.8 versus 3.5 at 8% improvement. As I said, our TRIFR rate for our safety at 9.9 is certainly pleasing to see that return to the form of the downward trajectory of that those numbers, and we're certainly going to give this a good shake to make sure we continue to push this hard during the balance of the year. Our coal sales in particular, so September at 5 million tonnes, as I mentioned, 12% higher than our previous corresponding period. Our met coal run rate was about 16% during the quarter on a managed basis. Our low CV proportion, which we do get some questions on this, we thought we'd throw that in there at 10% for the total. And then obviously the balance of that 72% being global coal, nuke, spec coal. Maules Creek in particular being the contributor for the change in our met coal period on period, was running at about 20% split for the met coal in the September quarter, which was pleasing to see. Certainly the coal itself is receiving a very good reception by the market, and we anticipate our ramp up to continue strongly into the next quarter. But as we're conducting these trials, we are talking to a number of customers who have, some of which have already signed up some term business with us, which is looking very positive. And the pricing for that will be generally linked to the benchmark prices, as I've mentioned before. So at Maules Creek, at 1.9 million tonnes of ROM for the quarter was certainly a solid start, 23% up on the 1.55 that we did last year. You remember last year was really the first quarter of commercial production. But we have been affected across not just Maules Creek, but across our pits more generally, but for Narrabri, with quite a bit of rain during the period. And whilst it hasn't been the sort of rain that has cut rail lines or anything like that, it's more generally been just consistent rain right across the quarter. In fact, September was probably the wettest September they've recorded for many years. And so what it meant is just the ground was pretty wet, so a little bit of extra rain, all it did was we did incur a few halt periods during that period of time, which put a little bit of a dint in our production. But despite that, we've certainly turned out saleable coal production of 1.77 versus 1.47 on the previous corresponding period, and sales for the quarter at 1.97 was pretty solid, so happy with that. And as I said, met coal comprising 20% of our total sales. With one of those excavators I mentioned already on the ground, and the second arriving, the larger excavator arriving before the end of this calendar year, the second half of this year should see us at the 10.5 million ton run rate. So we will be the full complement of kit on the ground as we turn into the new calendar year to be able to run at that rate. As a growing our growing community connection shows that with that increased confidence of the mine running well and the town's in fact doing very well up there as a result of our expansion up there, we did run employee family day at Maules Creek, which was very good to see and very well received by employees. And as you could imagine, given the large footprint that we have it there from an employee perspective, we have a hell of a lot of advocates in the area who are on our payroll or related to someone on our payroll. Narrabri has done very well for the quarter, as you can see, 2.353 is a solid outcome, 136% higher, but as I mentioned, the previous corresponding period did have a change out in it. The saleable coal production at 2.22 compared to the 1.57, certainly a big increase of 41%. Development's proceeding well at 5,633 metres during the quarter. Certainly longwall panel 7 is in hand, and 8 is pushing along. And as you know, our focus is to make sure we maintain continuity here as the panels start to lengthen out, which is positive for production, but obviously does present itself a little bit of a challenge in terms of making sure we at all times keep decent float in front of us. As you know, there's a single change out in this year, and we're certainly hoping that we can bring this forward as soon as possible and get meaningful production into that last quarter of the financial year 17. So we do expect at this rate to be into production again for that last quarter. So it'll be the third quarter that really sees the majority of the change-out appearing. Yeah. Sales for the quarter, just for completeness, 1.886 compared to 1.55 for last September. The open cuts have done pretty well, but again, they've also been affected by rain. So 1.185 for the quarter versus 1.319. Solid results, but still we would have liked a little bit more. Tarrawonga at 500,000 tonnes for the quarter compared reasonably well with the previous, despite that rain. Rocklin did actually quite well, actually, for 326,000 tonnes versus 236 for the previous corresponding period. And then Werris has obviously borne the brunt of that. Werris seems to be the one who gets the bulk of rain. If there's rain anywhere in the region, it's going to be at Werris. So that one's borne the brunt of it, 356,000 tonnes versus 548,000 for the previous corresponding period. But still solid results despite the fact that we've had a little bit of weather. Vickery, the main focus of our Vickery enlarged approval application has been the drafting of our EIS documentation, the finalisation of various third-party reports that go into supporting that, but then really just the definition of the final rail route that we will submit for that enlarged application. That work is continuing and looking at three options, as I've mentioned before, all with different OPEX and CAPEX characteristics, but the optimisation of that and the discussions with the various stakeholders that relate to each of those three options is ongoing. Timing for Vickery production has not changed in terms of, you know, we would see that coming on immediately after the full ramp up of Maules Creek attaining its 13 million tonnes per annum. At a corporate level, this is just a couple of extra data points for you. Obviously, our hedging profile, we generally provide that for you at $65 million. Hedged about not far off where we are today, but during the course of the quarter, we did hand back essentially $100 million of headroom in our facility. That's really just a bit of tidy up. We felt we didn't really need the extra capacity. We were paying for it, so we did return that to the bank as a positive demonstration of the company's ability to continue to deliver. And I'm sure that pace of that deleverage will certainly gather as these prices take hold in the second, third, and fourth quarters. So as you know, pricing, and we do get quite a few questions on this, but obviously this pricing upward trend has only been a relatively recent change, with the pricing profile for GC Nuke, say, for instance, being at 61, 67, and then 73 across the 3 months. So not only do you have a blended outcome in terms of your pricing for the period, but obviously we bring some pricing into the period off the basis of sales that were made for the 3 and sometimes up to 6 months ahead of that. So the average 4-hour pricing during that period at $64 covers all our coal, not just the GC Nuke coal, but certainly our Korean tons as well. And the met coal pricing that we've achieved during the quarter was at $70. Clearly, that's obviously moved on significantly since then, and that the benchmark price being recently settled at $130, as I mentioned earlier. As far as our outlook goes, we do see solid demand for pricing to continue along these lines. Certainly, the Chinese supply side reform has been welcome, and that, in our view, has accelerated some tension in supply demand, which we probably saw emerging early calendar 17 rather than 6 months ahead of schedule, which is what it's done. But as far as the pricing for this next quarter goes, I think we certainly be keen to see more of our tons come through with these more recent pricing rather than the tail of pricing we brought into the year, and seeing that semi-soft at 130 certainly bodes well for Maules Creek in particular, who is increasing its sales over and above what we've recorded in this this first quarter into the met coal market. So we look forward to continue to build that, and obviously to continue to delever at an increasing rate as the year wraps out. So overall, the quarter's been very good, solid performance across all the sites. So I think the weather, just to sum that up, probably cost us in the order of about 500,000 tonnes, I would have said, in terms of what we'd otherwise expected to do during this period. But we're quite confident that we've got the necessary action plans in place to recover that tonnage during the course of the balance of the year. And, certainly off to a good start. What looks like will be not just a good production start, but certainly positive financial outcomes for this year also. So with that, I might hand back to our operator and start the Q&A.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to queue for a question, please press 0 followed by 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press 0 followed by 2. Once again, to ask a question, that's 0-1 on your telephone. And your first question comes from Philip Chippendale from Wilsons. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Paul. 3 questions from me. Just first of all, on your met coal fraction, what sort of level do you think you'll get that to at Maules Creek by the end of FY17? The quarter just gone, it was obviously at 20%, and your commentary there around that seems to be that the uptake so far has been quite positive. So that's my first question. Second one, has production for the current quarter been impacted by wet weather so far? And just finally, just on Vickery, 3 months ago in your quarterly, you said the EIS would be submitted within around 6 months' time. This current quarterly report, you said the same thing. So I just wanted to understand a little bit about the timing around the EIS, whether there's a hold up there and when we should be expecting that to go through. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Philip. 3 questions, I think I've got them all. Met coal fraction certainly is looking good, and you've asked for a prediction as to where we'll be at the end of the financial year 17. I might just restate what we said previously firstly, so we can recap on what that is. We said we'd do 10 to 15% in the first full year of production, and then we'd add 10% then on after each of the successive 4 years to get to a 5-year run rate of about 50-50. For Maules Creek. So certainly the first year has been pretty much in accordance with what we said we do, tick that box. And certainly this quarter running at 20% is showing a decent improvement on that as well. Where we'll be at the end of the financial year, as far as that split goes, is a little bit hard to predict just because things are changing quickly, as we're all noted. Of course, everybody understands the margin benefit to us of pushing as much of Maules Creek production into the semi-soft market as we can. So that goes to the underlying motivation. Looking at the next quarter, which is really the only guidance I'll give you just at this point in time, just given how quickly things are changing, we're estimating that Maules Creek will be about 30% for the second quarter. So certainly a nice step up, and obviously the shipping requirements are required to be done ahead of time. We can certainly see that we'll be around the 30% for Maules Creek for that second quarter, which is a very positive result. Production in the December quarter is looking pretty good. So yes, I think there's actually a bit of weather today, but other than that, it's been actually pretty good. So the teams are back into it, you know, in good form. So I would expect us to make a good portion of that headway I mentioned that we'd lost through the weather in the first quarter in this second quarter. So that's looking positive. The Vickery lodgement of the enlarged application. Look, there's no particular delay there. Really, I would like to have this thing lodged as soon as possible. But the reality of it is that we don't actually want to force ourselves into a conclusion on one of these rail options or another. And whilst we've got three options, that's a positive thing from the discussions we're having from the various stakeholders involved in each of those three options. They all have a different group of stakeholders that need to be negotiated with. So that's the part, if you like, that we're using this extra time to make sure that we optimise it. I think if we put ourselves a hard deadline in front of ourselves and stuck to that publicly, that would certainly provide a little bit more leverage to the people with whom we're discussing these various routes. That would be less positive if you thought the timeline for the overall project would be affected by that, but we don't. The timeline that we're working till is still the same as what it was before, because we have plenty of time to get this done. So Phil, hopefully that answers your questions.
That's great. Thanks very much.
And your next question comes from the line of Clark Wilkins from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Just a couple of questions. Just as an extension of that Maules Creek question, how much is it driven by geology versus how much is it driven by the market in terms of that ramp up of the met coal sales? And also just in regards to the low CV thermal coal, I think in the past you talked about blending that with the sort of above spec Maules Creek. Is there any plans to do that, or is it, you know, the plan to sell them as separate products effectively into the market?
Clark, there's two answers there. Firstly, well, I'll go to the last one first, if you like. We do blend across the group, there's no doubt about that, but then the economics of it, given the spread between the various products, does mean that we do more or less of that depending on that. So there is always going to be an element of our business that is into the low CV market. That coal principally comes from Werris Creek, but that is relatively cheap coal, as you know, as well. But at the moment, the spread says that we should be selling as much of the premium coal into the premium market as we can, and keeping some of that separate into the low CV market. Now,
semi-soft geology.
The semi-soft geology, the capacity of Maules Creek to run at a higher level than what we've done in this quarter and what I've guided for the second quarter is we're certain of that. So we could go over, currently, we could get up to 50%, a little bit more than 50%, as the mine plan stands now. So to the extent that the market is there for us to do it, we will be doing that. And as I mentioned before, the margin differential between the two is quite extraordinary when you consider that there's a small single-digit dollar cost increment in washing and yield loss over and above our thermal costs in order to do that. So it's really just about the market being there for it. The market is very strong, as you can tell. So we're certainly trying to push all that we can in there. Of course, the amount of commitments we've made already, as you normally do in selling your coal, we don't dig coal out of the ground unless we've got somewhere for it to go. So there are forward commitments. So your ability to switch out of that thermal production, if you like, into the semi-soft market is constrained by those forward sales that you've already made. But as you can see, with new production coming on, essentially we're trying to tip all that into the semi-soft market as quickly as we can. But you should be confident that the Maules Creek deposit itself can do a lot more than what we're doing currently.
sorry, just as an extension of that, how long do those forward sales continue for? So, you know, could you be at 50-50 effectively within, I think originally the plan was over 5 years to ramp up as you got deeper into the mine plan as well as develop the market. Could it be, you know, a year away, 2 years away in terms of getting to that 50-50?
Well, the 50-50 was certainly our base case, and it was predicated on the market being there. And these prices tells you that there's an opportunity to push that harder. So certainly the opportunity is there to do that, and we're certainly trying to, but I won't put a number on it, Clark.
Okay, thank you.
And your next question comes from the line of Brandon Fitzpatrick from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Good morning. With the thermal coal and the price realization, at the group level, it deteriorated a little if we just compare it to the prior June quarter. Was that as much to do with timing of contracts and committed volumes as it was to do with the absolute volume of the low CV tonnages and the economics of blending or not blending?
Well, look, I think it was really just the run of mine averages from the mine. I don't think that it wasn't the blending issue driving that in particular. I think the great body of thermal obviously coming out, or a great wave of thermal, I should say, coming out of it, it drives those proportional numbers, even though the underlying sentiment is to produce as much semi as you can.
Okay. And on the semi or the met coal component, at the group level, the proportion was down on the prior periods. Was that the lower absolute volume from Maules Creek during the period? I see the Maules Creek proportion was actually quite good at the 20%, but at the group level it came down. Was that just the relative contributions in the period?
Just relative, that's right. I mean, these are just timings from one to the other. I mean, quarterly periods are a relatively short period of time, you know, because the proportions currently are relatively low, they can actually be influenced by one or two cargoes slipping from 1 month into the next. And if it happens to be at the start or the end of a quarter, then it can drive those changes. I think that's generally just movements within a relatively short period of time.
Okay, that's great. Thanks for the clarity. Cheers.
And your next question comes from the line of Amber McKinnon from UBS. Please go ahead.
Hi, Paul and team. Thanks very much for the call. A couple of my questions have been answered already, but I just was a couple of sort of clarifying questions around things that have already been discussed. One was with regards to Werris Creek. Obviously, last quarter was quite strong in terms of the June quarter, but now that you have done the efficiency improvements, I was just wondering what level of production we should expect from Werris Creek going forward on a sort of normalised base case, assuming no wet weather impact. My second question was, you're hoping to recover tonnage in the December quarter. Is there particular mines we should expect to see that tonnage recover? And then finally, obviously, you opportunistically sold extra low calorific value coal during the quarter, but that volume of 530,000 tonnes is quite a bit above what we've seen in the past. How much would be the optimal level of sales, or should we expect as a percentage going forward in terms of that low calorific value coal sales? Thanks very much.
Thanks, Amber. Look, Werris Creek suffers from this strange timing as it relates to the financial year position, in the sense that the mine plan actually delivers a hell of a lot of coal at the very end of the year, and that's really just a matter of how we get to the time required in order to get to, you know, the lower seams, which are the thicker seams where more coal is delivered. Unfortunately, that tends to go in an annual cycle, and it coincides roughly with the last quarter of the financial year. It'd sort of be nice to get it out of sequence with that. But generally, you know, the June quarter is a pretty big quarter because we hit the GC and we're hitting it hard. And then you fall into this period where you take the next trip and you're actually back into some of the smaller seams, which have less coal in them. Having said that, look, we have restructured Werris, and it's actually responding quite nicely. But we do feel that running it as hard as we have in the past, we've been causing a little bit more dilution with the product quality than what we'd like. So we are looking to wind that back a little bit. You can see that we've hit sort of levels of around 2.3, almost 2.4 in the last couple of years as we've ramped it up hard. But we actually think for the benefit of the longevity of the mine life, we would be better off winding it back slightly. And so we think that range where it runs probably more efficiently, because some of you who've been to see it actually know it's quite a small pit, and it does get constrained when we put more gear into it. And that hole actually gets smaller as we climb back out of into shallower sections of the pit, because it's sort of shaped like a little bowl, and we're sort of middle of the way through it. And so as you start to climb out of the pit effectively, you'll have less space to move more gear. So we think 1.8 to 2 million tonnes is probably the better run rate for that mine going forward.
Okay. Thank you.
In terms of normalising production, I expect Maules will probably do the better of all the mines in that next quarter in terms of making up some of that ground. The smaller open cuts will do a little bit of that. But I think that probably, if you like, looking at the tonnes that have the weather has probably left in the ground for the first quarter, I suspect it'll be Maules that'll do the better of that in the second quarter. As far as low CV tonnes go, low CV tonnes proportionally have hit their peak, and so they just get smaller as a proportion of the total. And on an annual basis for us, we're probably going to do about 2.5 million tonnes per annum of those lower CV coals. But again, that just depends on that blending ratio we spoke about before and the opportunities in the market. But certainly proportionately, last year was our highest level.
So it drops down.
So Ian's just showing me a few numbers. So it does drop down around about the 2 million tonnes, maybe a little bit less as you extend out into further years. So certainly 16 was our highest, as I mentioned, and that drops off now to around the 2, slightly less as you get out to 19.
Okay, that's fantastic. Thanks, guys.
Sam.
And your next question comes from the line of Peter O'Connor from Shaw and Partners. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Paul. How good is it to be the CEO of a coal company at the moment?
Yeah, thanks, Rick. It's all right. It's still a lot of hard work, and we're enjoying it. It's nice to see some prices now, which... Well, better reflect the hard work that's been going on over the last few years.
Well, kudos to you and team. Hey, firstly, just on weather, thanks for the feedback and the clarification about the weather issues, but note to self, you didn't put rainfall or weather till page 3 or page 4 in the announcement. It would have been handy on the front page. Anyway, just my way of feedback. Secondly and thirdly, just on realisation, I just want to get a sense if you could walk us through how we should think about realisation for both semi-soft and also thermal coal this quarter. And an area where we on the buy-sell side get these wrong is when you've got gapping up prices or falling prices. And I just want to get an understanding of carryover tons and how that realisation should come through, and just to make sure that we don't all plug in $130 for semi-soft and you know, $89 for thermal coal and end up at the half year and we're all too high with our forecast. So could you just give me a sense of how that should work? And then just lastly, I wanted to follow up on your comment about the rail access discussions or plans you're looking at with regard to Vickery. And did I get a sense that one of the issues that you were facing there was negotiations with the different access or landowners in that regard? Is that the sense I got from your comment about why it's taking a bit longer?
Yep, okay. Thanks, Peter. Look, weather is what weather is. I mean, we budget for weather, and it happens a little somewhat uncontrollably, obviously. We did debate about the front or... into the further pages, but definitionally I didn't think it fit the notion of a highlight, and so it is where it is, but obviously we've spoken to it in volume, so should be no trouble from anyone understanding that, you know, it certainly had some weather in the first quarter, and that's why the tonnes are a little bit less than what we'd otherwise hope to get. Realisations and how they fall out. We've got a relatively short wick in terms of the thermal coal pricing, so you should actually see that follow through pretty quickly. I do note that the one counter to that generally has been in the past the low CV tonnes, which we obviously roll into the average thermal price that we've achieved during the quarter. Having said that, our Korean friends in particular, I suspect have been caught out a little bit by these price rises, and the last few rounds of tenders that they've put out, which are generally on an annual basis, but they've been moving more and more to a short-term basis, They've generally been caught out, so the last few rounds of tenders actually didn't conclude successfully for them. So what we're seeing at the moment is quite a few Korean consumers scrambling to get hold of tons in short order. So that's actually inflating prices to a more healthy level. In fact, I know we've got some tons away into Korea at around $74 for low CV coal, which is pretty good. Semi-soft. Generally, our semi approximates the benchmark price in any event. Our PCI has generally been about a 5% discount to that, just to reiterate what we've previously done. So I think that will still hold as we go forward. In terms of the semi that we see going into this next quarter, where will that be as it relates to this recently set number? I think if you we're getting down to the minutiae here, but if you said half of it would carry price in and the other half would be at these prices, then that's probably the right way to think about it. In terms of rail access, look, what you've interpreted from my questions is right. Those three routes that we look at, they each have three different sets of stakeholders. And you're going to the north, essentially, back up to the existing infrastructure where Maules Creek and Boggabri join the line, going to you west and versus going southwest. So that's broadly directionally where these alternatives are. They all have different landholder groups involved, and they all have a different CapEx and OpEx profile. There is an ongoing set of discussions with each of these different groups so that we can find the optimal course for what's needed to cross the river again, as we have done with Maules Creek, and choose what's hopefully longer term the most advantageous route for us. But look, these discussions are ongoing. They're all equally good. I mean, in a sense that they obviously provide a viable connection for this important project to the main line. But we do have preferences in terms of some have less capex, and certainly the western route and the southwestern route have a lower opex scenario as well. So just balancing all that out and making sure that we manage sensitively the discussions with each of be they farmers or others in the area, just make sure we need to conclude that within a reasonable amount of time. But don't want to rush it, and certainly don't want to try and rush any of the local landholders.
Fully understood. Hey, can I just circle back to your comment about the realisation, just to make sure I've got this right,
yep,
and for everybody in the call. If I took a 5 million tonne quarter as a typical quarter, and 20% being the rough met coal mix, just make the numbers easy, so a million tonnes of met coal fraction out of 5, so the way I think about this quarter should be that of that million tonnes, if that were the case of met, about half would be done at the current contract, which is 130, and there'd be the balance being carrying over from last quarter at sort of circa low 70s?
Yeah, more or less. Yeah, more or less.
Okay.
So you might get a little bit
better
than that.
And then likewise, into the following quarter, then... Sorry.
That'll be conservative, yep.
Right, and then thinking about that into another quarter, again, you get some of the carryover of this high price stuff carrying to the next quarter as well.
Correct.
Okay, great. Thanks, Paul.
Correct. So there are a range of prices in there, Peter, as I've seen. I mean, certainly we did some tons. We've concluded some tons before the 130 was nailed down, and those prices are in the 120s, say, for instance. So there's a range of prices that go in there.
Brent, thanks so much.
And your next question comes from the line of Andrew Hodge from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Thanks, guys. Just two questions for me. One is actually a follow-up, I think, on something you just said then about the low calorific value stuff. Certainly we've been hearing at the moment there's been a shortage of low calorific value coal, and so I'm just curious about whether or not you guys continue to see stronger demand for that than originally anticipated. And the second is really just coming back to a question you made at the financial results. We said that in July you'd paid off more debt than you had in the rest of FY16. Can you give us sort of a rough sort of a guideline for how you guys are tracking on that at the moment?
Sorry, what the debt reduction has been?
Yes.
Right. Well, we haven't given any guidance on that. What we've said as far as the financial results at the end of June was that we did, subsequent to year-end, pay down another $35 million on debt. And as I say, the only other comment that we've made is really just the reduction or handing back essentially of $100 million of headroom in our existing facility. So that's that's been all that we've done during this period. So the capacity to do that obviously is going to increase as these as the proceeds from these pricing, you know, sales at these prices continues to improve. So I mean, the half year numbers will certainly put out. You'll see there'll be an opportunity obviously to pay back more debt between now and then. And then we'll wrap all of the things that we've done up as far as debt reduction goes in this quarter and that quarter in those half-year numbers. As far as the low CV tonnes go, look, we do continue to see this shortage, and I think this will play out for some time. We note that there's I won't call them desperate, but I'll say, you know, very, very strong demand to get some tonnes in very, very short order, into the Korean market. But, you know, clearly people are trying to hold back a little bit because they've already committed to some already. And if you want to get tonnes in very, very short order, generally you're going to pay a significant premium to get it. And so I do note that there's lots of competing tension in that discussion at the moment. But that is a product of the fact that, you know, essentially, you know, if you're summarising, the Korean market may have got it wrong. You know, they may have thought these prices were going to continue to be soft and there was no underlying support for these type of numbers, and it's done the reverse of what they collectively look to have been doing and are now being found short of where they need to be. So when someone goes out and says, I need coal prompt tonnage, you know, in the next 3 to 4 weeks, then clearly they are very short when they're asking for that. And I think that's going to put pressure on these prices.
Okay. That's great, guys. Thanks.
And your next question comes from the line of Lyndon Fagan from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Thanks very much. Look, just to clarify the thermal realization, so this quarter was about a 4.5% discount to benchmark. What should we be thinking for modeling long-term thermal prices relative to benchmark as the mix changes over time? And then the second one is just on Maules Creek costs. So obviously the proportion of met coal's gone up, you're increasing washing and there's more kit coming to site. Can you perhaps give a little bit of colour on how to think about cash costs relative to where they were in the last period? Thanks.
All right, thanks, Lyndon. Well, we've got to, I mean, it's not easy to provide an overarching single assumption that you should use for realisations of thermal coal. As a general proposition, you know, we've obviously got this smaller proportion of low CV coal dragging it down. We've got a high, all these new tonnes are coming in at GC Nuke or better. GC Nuke would be a conservative assumption going forward, I think, but, you know, Maules Creek, certainly Tarrawonga and Narrabri easily do better than that. Rocklen generally we use as a blend stock across the portfolio, and so that generally goes into GC Nuke type pricing for that type of product. It does have some benefits in terms of blending into both those three mines. Cost going forward, if you look at Maules Creek, as we say, being the big driver of that semi-soft penetration, that run rate of $56 that we closed out the year last year, we said that that would be flat this year going forward. Now, there are some cost improvements that that come to the fore with the expansion of Maules Creek. In fact, the expansion going to 10.5 was actually predicated on certainly cost reductions being experienced there. In fact, $2 per tonne was what we actually used internally for that. But washing is going to cost you about the same, and then there's a yield loss on top of that. So, so you know, I think the semi-soft type cost that we should be looking would be under $60 for Maules Creek going forward. But that does change as that proportion of coal that you're washing, you know, will also change that overall average outcome. But if you're using $60 for our semi, I think you'll be doing, you know, you're around the right neighbourhood.
Right. So just to clarify that, we just model benchmark for thermal coal going forward, and it'll be close enough. And at Maules, yep, you're thinking flat costs.
At Maules, 56 is what we guided. We've got the whole group at $56 flat. That's right.
Yeah.
So what I've just described to you is that more costs associated with washing at Maules, but there are other cost out opportunities for us across the group. That's why we've guided flat 56 for the year.
Right. Yeah. Okay. All right. Great. Thanks for that.
And your next question comes from the line of Paul McTaggart from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Hi, gents. I just want to ask, you know, what you're seeing around the market at the moment, given that there's been a sharp lift in the met coal prices, are you now starting to see more Hunter Valley semi-soft tons being washed and coming back into the market? Because we know when type prices were low, I mean, a bunch of that stuff came out of the market and was being sold as thermal. So, you know, does that pose a kind of a threat to the sort of near-term price recovery we've seen?
Paul, look, I think the logic, you know, can't fault. Are we seeing a lot of it yet? No, I'll say we're not. But certainly, as far as incentive pricing goes, $130 is going to incentivize anyone who's got the capacity to do that to start bringing on those tons. And so overall volume, I'm not seeing a big change in there. But, yes, I would expect Hunter Valley producers to start washing more. I would expect them to do that. So what the volume of that will be, I couldn't tell you. But yeah, I expect that there'll be those who retreated during that period of low pricing and basically said we can't afford to wash should be able to afford to wash now. So I suspect, yeah, you'll see some increase in the volume of semi-soft coming to the market.
Thanks, Paul.
And you have a follow-up question coming from the line of Peter O'Connor from Shaw and Partners. Please go ahead.
Paul Narrabri, could you give me an update on the size of Longwall 7, just re-tons? I'm just trying to get a sense for when the changeover would be for Longwall 7, so how many tons in the block? And if you started in sometime late FY17, how long does this thing run for? And are the next couple after that, 7, 8, et cetera, are they a similar size in terms of tons?
Yep. Thanks, Peter. I might. I've got Jamie on the line. He's calling from another location. But Jamie, do you want to address this one?
Yeah, I can take that one. Paul, look, the Longwall Block 7 is about another 700 metres longer than 6, and it's about 9 million tonnes in that block. Eh? And then the next. Longwall 8 is about the same, and then the next step up is Longwall 9, 10, 11.
How much do they step up, Jamie?
It's about the same, I think. There's about another 700 metres extension from 8 to 9, in that order anyway, about 500 to 700.
Yeah.
And 11's the last one in the series as you head west.
That's correct. 11 is the one that aligns with the western boundary.
Whilst I got you, I asked you this on the last call, Jamie. With regards to punching ahead into that western area, any update from the last quarter, or is the last quarter not enough time to do anything in that regard?
No, look, not at this stage. We're in that process, I guess, in terms of making application to the Department of Mineral Resources. No update, I guess, on those discussions at this stage.
Okay. And just circling back to those block sizes, it looks like they're about just under a year each. Would that be a fair call in terms of production time?
In that order, I guess. We're sort of forecasting this year 8.2 at a Narrabri, and then we'll step that up. FY18 and 19, we're indicating sort of 8.4, 8.5. So, just on a year, just a little bit over a year.
Okay, so just one changeover per year for the next couple of years. Thanks, Jamie.
Yeah, that certainly is the plan, I guess. And there, as we get out a little bit further, is I can't remember which year it is, but there's one where we actually skip a longwall block, a longwall relocation. So that year will probably be in the order of about the nine and possibly 9 to 9.5 in that year.
Wow, happy days. Thanks.
And there are no further questions at this time, so I now turn the conference back to Mr. Flynn. Please continue, sir.
All right, everyone, thank you very much for dialing in once again. If there are any further questions, you know where to find us. And as the operator mentioned earlier, any media inquiries can come through to us directly, and we'll deal with those separately. But thanks very much for everyone, and we'll look forward to seeing you soon. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude our conference for today. We thank you for participating. You may now all disconnect.